Okay, good morning. We are going to continue where we left off yesterday, which is on page 33. Here we go. I'll just read, it's worthwhile. I think I said it yesterday, I'll read it again. There are different approaches to how to understand the status of our oven. The first one is by the Aruch HaShulchan, and this is Rav Hershel Schachter's approach, and he says the following. He says, listen, we can be very lenient in our modern day ovens, meaning I can cook meat and milk one after the other, even if they were uncovered. And the reason is because the ovens that we have in the modern era are much larger than the ovens that they had 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, etc. And what the zeya, the steam that they're referring to by the Rosh and Aruch is a much, much thicker steam because the area is an enclosed area. But our large ovens, are larger, and next, they have a ventilation system. Every oven has a ventilation system. Every oven has an ability for the heat and the steam to dissipate. An exit strategy, right? That's the way it works. Our ovens are vented, right? So this can be already seen in source 21. So I'll read that together. V'hine, b'din zeya mitbarer lanu mimishnah demachshirin delo shayach zeya ela b'makom hamukav. When it comes to zeya, when it comes to the steam, right, based on what we learned already, machshirin, we see that it's only referring to a place in a situation of makom hamukav, an enclosed area. Not one that's open. Like a kira, the picture that I showed you guys yesterday of a kira, when you have a dish, an upper and a lower area, right? That when you have a situation where the moment you place a pot at the top and your pot in it, in this kira, in this type of an oven, that is totally, totally sealed. In which case, the zeya, the steam, has really only one way to go, and that's up, and it's, smashing on it and beating it up, so to speak. Right? The ola zeya saviv saviv, right? And therefore, the steam literally goes around it and gets in it, has nowhere to go. V'obemakam galui, but in an open area, tim shalanu sheyesh avir, our ovens, where there's space, right? There's air. Hazea olaba avir. Our steam goes into this area. It would not make the food next to it asur. That's the Ora HaShulchan. Okay? And in fact, I'll show you in source 22, Chaim Jachter has a great, great, great article called Cooking Meat and Milk in One Oven. According to the Proj Ora HaShulchan, one may be permitted to cook milk and meat consecutively in the same oven, provided the oven is clean. Cleanliness of the oven eliminates the problem of recha. Recha means, right, this odor, right, that sticks around. The word reach. Reach in Hebrew means odor. That we do not cook in small confined areas, remove the problems of zeya. Rosh Hashachter routinely tells inquirers that they may adopt this approach. Shachter's reason that the problem of zeya applies only to hevel, to thick steam, as assertion supported by the Bi'ur HaGra. Shachter counsels about the one way for the oven to cool down from dairy use before the oven. Wow, I can't read today. I'm really tired. The dairy use before the meat and vice versa. Okay, so just wait for the oven to cool down. So I have now cooked my pizza. Pizza is a very common thing to cook. And I don't believe anybody covers pizza in the oven because that would not... you want to get that little crispier, right? You want the cheese to melt on a brownish surface. And now it's a Thursday night, and I'm cooking for Shabbat, and I want to put my chicken in the oven, and I want my chicken to brown at the top, or my meat, right? So I want to put it in afterwards. So you can, as long as it's clean, wait for it to cool down. How long does it take for an oven to cool down? I don't know, 45 minutes or so. Okay. Oh, we have somebody else. Please hold. Hello, Rivka. Welcome. I'll do a quick summary of what we did. It's very hard to only use and read your PDF because it forces me to put, but I don't have to. I could put people at the bottom. I don't need to make them disappear. Okay. I don't like making people disappear. We read the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Hershel Schechter, who say that our ovens are large ovens. There's no thick steam in them, and therefore you can cook milk and meat one after the other. Even without a cover, it is not a problem. And the only thing you need to be aware of is twofold. Number one, make sure your oven is clean. And the second is, have your oven cooled down a little bit. How long does it take for an oven to cool down? I have no idea. 45 minutes or so? Something like that. Next. Pirush the Rambam, source 23. B'tanuri chashmal. So when it talks about an electric oven, right? Which is what we have. B'tanuri chashmal b'nita echad. That when you have a oven with one ta. Ta is a great word. Ta is a shelf, right? Ta is one section. They use the word ta for like kids, cubbies, thank you, cubbies. That's often the word they use for cubbies, but one, you know, one area, one place. Near Elisha, heter gam ruhur lafot bahen, gam basar v'gam chalav kamuvan, v'tavnit nifradot bazeh chazeh. No problem. You can, again, one after another, separate pans, separate dishes, milk and meat. V'lo b'yachad, not together. V'arotzed linhog l'chumra, you'll be machmir, yitera, yichayem et atonur, kerev hashav. If you want, in the middle between the two, blast it for 50 minutes. Bein tavshol v'tavshol, between dish and dish, kedei, if you're worried, which I recommend people to do also if you want, that you blast it for 50 minutes to remove everything. In don't worry about recha, don't worry about this odor, it's nothing. And he says recha is not an issue at all. And of course, since there's no contact, there's no contact that ever takes place between the inside door and between whatever is being cooked, whatever is being baked. So you do not need to worry about it. So that is the most lenient opinion. That is still, nonetheless, I see here the footnote says, this is Rav Vadia Hadaya, Rav Binyamin Weiss, is quoted by Rav Malavid Pini Halacha. Okay, so that's sort of number two. What is your second option? Second is a little more machmir, that they disagree a little bit, and they want people, they don't like the idea of using the oven back to back for milk and meat. Rather, you want to make sure that the Zeya has dissipated. Okay, and what does he say you should do? Very simple, wait 24 hours. This is the Yabia Omer, source 24. Odot she'otenu b'din tanur gaz v'tanur chashmali sh'lefamin tzolim b'tocho basar o'of v'ro'ima sh'atanur mitmale hevel v'zeya mehatzli. People use their oven, and you see the oven fills up from steam. Mutar lafot b'to tanur l'char miken ugot. Can you then bake cakes? Mleot migvina filled with cheese, v'kayotzebo and a like betoch magash, acher and yuchad machichalav, clean dairy. So you use it for meat, use it for dairy. It says yesh latir lachar meit laed mitziliyata basar. Yes, wait 24 hours since you used your oven for meat. Now this is the source for why people eat pizza from a store Thursday night. The rationale being, many people like on Thursday night to have dairy because they're going to be having meat on Shabbos. So the dairy Thursday night. How do you make it in your oven Thursday night? Your oven is being used for Shabbos food. I don't want to use my oven for dairy because it'll prevent me from using it for meat. So what do? They buy pizza. You buy pizza. You have dairy and you buy it so you don't have to heat it up in your oven at home. Okay, there you go. That's the source for why people eat pizza, why there's a minhag among the Jewish people to eat pizza Thursday night. This is a little bit humorous, but not necessarily humorous. There's some rationale behind it. And also this way no one else can cook because it's like takeout, right? Because people are usually busy cooking. So the last thing they want to do is also cook for dinner when they're cooking for Shabbos. That's also another reason. So says the Yabia Omer, Rav Avadia Yosef, he says, wait 24 hours. He says, you know, wait. He says, I like the idea of for 20 minutes kind of like blasting your oven a bit. Blast it up. So whatever steam has been lingering for the last 24 hours, it'll be removed. People who eat last 24 hours, don't worry, they have definitely on who to rely. So there you go. That's the second opinion. And then explains, according to Rav Avadia, turning on, we'll read that little the section here. Turning on the oven, the highest setting is a valid method of kashering from meat to dairy. It would be used to cook both meat and dairy in the same oven. What? I didn't read that properly. What's he saying here? According to Rav Avadia, turning on the oven, the highest setting is a method of kashering one's oven from meat to dairy. It may be used in order to cook both meat and dairy in the same. Oh, yes. Okay, fine. Just back to back, not together. The reason that one wait 24 hours is that this is the standard practice for kashering to make sure that the oven is not binyomo. So there's no potential leftover meat flavor in the oven. Fine. We learned that a long time ago. Nevertheless, Rav Avadia acknowledges that those who kasher the oven within 24 hours also lach basis would rely. So that is the position of Rav Avarnachnasin, called Rav Jachter, holds that lachachila, one may kasher the oven within 24 hours of use or wait 24 hours between. Yes. This is another opinion of lachachila, prince one to eat in a home where the opinion of the Rosh Hashulchan is followed. It depends on one to adopt a stricter standard. Just the one either wait 24 hours or kasher the oven, just blast it for 20 minutes to the maximum temperature. That's all you need. Although he says, sorry. Yeah, and he says an hour. So he says that's the kasher for an hour. Okay? That's what he recommends. Okay. Rav Jachter explains in footnote 11, 17, that the grounds for leniency for simply waiting 24 hours and the prohibition of use of dairy utensils is a rabbinic. Fine. Zay is not serious in actual transfer. It could be lenient. Fine. Okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein takes an even stricter approach. In his view, one may not cook uncovered meat and dairy foods that contain Zaya consecutively. He holds that one would need to designate the oven as being dairy or meat and then cover the other type of food on a regular basis. Meaning, I only have one oven. He says you want to call your oven meat oven. You can never cook dairy in there not being covered. It is a very, very strict approach. And he says this in Ibris Moshe in source 26. Lachen, I'll just read the bolded section. Even if we wait a long time and we wait a week. That's a very machmir opinion. Very complicated. It means you need to get two ovens. That's not always so practical. Okay? That being said, he does have a leniency. He pulls back a little bit from what seems to be a very strict approach. According to Ramosha, it is true that the Rama implies we do not necessarily assume that steam is always produced in today's ovens. They have walls and a roof. Usually steam must be stringent. Ramosha, though, is more lenient concerning dry foods, which he believes do not produce steam. Therefore, he permits placing an uncovered, totally dry dairy food in an oven, usually used for meat, unless he actually sees steam. So what's considered a dry dairy food? So I don't know. Pizza to me is dry. No? There's no liquid in pizza. Yeah, okay. There's a cheese, maybe a little bit of, but that actually is dry, I think. I'm happy to be corrected. A cheese souffle is dry. What's a liquid food? I don't even know. Dairy. I don't know. Milk. I don't know. Milky, whatever. We'll leave it at that. Figure it out yourself. And both of them have to produce steam in order for them to observe. Okay. Nonetheless, he does assume that most, you know, if it's a dry, solid food, they don't, that's all the time he is lenient. Okay. So this is a very strict approach. And I'll read to you what he says in Rav Binyamin Forest, The Laws of Kashrus. Those of you who might be familiar with it, it's a blue, right here on my shelf, so I might as well just slide over to show people the left side. It's a blue book. Okay, I can't find them right now. That's not good. But anyways, it's a book on kashrus, which is a very good, extremely thorough. But again, it's pretty machner. So, 28. Placing the meat in the same racks as dairy utensils poses no problem. I mean, don't worry about the racks. Taste cannot travel from utensil to utensil without medium of liquid. Nonetheless, use of the same oven racks for meat and dairy pots can at times be problematic. Food occasionally spills from the pots while cooking in the oven, soiling the rack. Thus, one should be concerned at least the dairy pot be placed over meat residue in the rack. Some contemporary authorities rule that one may assume that any food residue in the rack is certainly dried and is no longer able to impart a taste to put it when you put a pot over it. However, other sources contend that even if no meat residue is present in the rack, dairy pot should not be present in the rack. Contact of hot meat. Dairy pots to be avoided even when no liquid is present. One wishes to avoid any questions to treat his oven racks as either meat or dairy and spread aluminum foil over the rack whenever cooking pots of the other type. That is a very, very strict opinion that he mentions here. And that is something which I don't know anybody who does. So, okay. Yeah, an important opinion. And you'll see, I think there's even a... there's a footnote here somewhere I saw. If you take a look at the bottom of the footnote, there's an important one, 18 and 19. Rav Moshe Heinemann of the Star K falls as a person of Rav Moshe on the issue of ovens and offers many practical halachic guidance for implementing in the kitchen, which I wanted to actually read with you in a minute. The article cites Rav Heinemann as permitting mikaradin baking a dairy cake or pizza. Oh, I knew I saw this somewhere. Here you go. I knew I did not make this up. I did not, unfortunately, read enough in advance. But I knew I read somewhere that even this is permitted and about the oven. And I didn't know where I saw it. And I thought I was questioning myself. So I threw out an example that pizza would be okay. And now I was right. So I'm happy about that. The article says Rav Heinemann is permitting mikaradin baking dairy cake or pizza in the meat oven without covering. Yes, since it considers them to be dry foods and not entirely dry, but nevertheless some good Moshe's leniency. However, Rav Moshe Lubin noted in his article for the OU on the subject that there are diverging opinions concerning these types of foods. Okay, fine. So there we go. Okay, there's a machlokas there. And fine, good. Let's continue. The Ramah in 29, the pan is covered, everything is permitted. Good. How do we deal with covering, right? You'll notice that Ramah says, well, if it's covering, everything should be permitted, meaning the milk and to go back and forth, one from the other, because it's covered. So how do you deal with it? And even though he says he questions his own leniency, and one of the reasons behind it, which is quoted in 30, is because sometimes we don't always cover things well. Right, sometimes steam does come up, right? So I know this happens all the time. You put tinfoil over a food item, you know, tinfoil moves, it breaks, and you're really covering it up properly. That's a good question. So, no question about it, though. There's room to be lenient. But okay, number 31, Shuvos Hanagos, he says, you designate an oven for meat and milk. Miyukoza imatanam yuchad abasar and chalav v'rakul iti mishane v'zeh machshir b'ofen shabarinu. Aval im b'kviyos mishtamashim bo tadir gal masar gal machalav. You generally use it both for milk and meat. In really smells of chila al heter. Don't rely on it. Why? Because it's kavua. If it's set, sometimes you can mess up, unfortunately, with your situation, and the steam will go up. Lachen, I'm just reading the last three lines in Hebrew. Roi be'ofen shemishtamish tadir gam lebasar gam chalav v'kinot shnei tanurim. Better to get two ovens, omacher kfula, or if you need to, instead of getting two ovens, just double wrap, no, kfula means two ovens that are connected to each other. This way, we have two ovens. And he says that's what to do. So we have two ovens at home, I'll just tell you personally. That being said, though, we do not designate one for milk and one for meat. We don't cook, how often do we really cook dairy uncovered? Really, it's just pizza, is the only thing that we really cook uncovered. That's dairy, or pizza is probably the most popular one for sure. So there's room to be lenient for pizza. We see that there's room to be lenient to wait 24 hours. We see there's room to be lenient if your oven is clean. There's room to be lenient, maybe there's no zeah. There's lots of room to be lenient. That's the approach that I personally take, and I recommend people. That is worthwhile being lenient. Otherwise, you can get into a lot of complicated situations, especially in one's home. So that's what we recommend. And last but not least, our 32. He, although has a very, very strict opinion here, but racks have different grades for milk and for meat, right? Because they are concerned that things get splashed on the actual grates themselves. We're going to put aluminum foil over the grates. Or if you're able to, again, the Badei Shulchan mentions, have one for milk and have one for meat. Okay, wow, very, very strict opinion. That's why I like to make sure, always tell people, make sure your grates are clean, make sure your oven is clean. If need be, blast it for an hour just to remove whatever content might be there, so you don't run into these challenging situations. Okay, that's our oven topic. We're going to move on to microwaves. Microwaves are a little bit different, and they get involved with splashing. And what about the tray? What about my little, what's it called, tray? My glass tray that's at the bottom. What do I do about milk? What do I do with meat? Can I use my oven for my microwave for both? To be discussed tomorrow morning. Reminder, tomorrow is the last Thursday. We're starting next week, just 2 days a week, to Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Have a great day, everybody. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Have a good one. Thank you. Bye, Rav Kobe, Adrian. Thanks for joining.